it's up to you and me to shine a guiding light and lead the way. United by our cause, we have the power to pursue what we believe. We'll achieve the realization of our dreams.
Hello and welcome to this edition of New Horizons. I'm Vaughan Bennison. Once again, thanks for your company. Emma Bennison recently attended a forum of the ABA. Now, that's not the Australian Braille Authority. I started by asking her what that's all about.
It's the Australian Bankers Association Roundtable on Accessibility. And the purpose of this roundtable was to bring members of the disability sector and the banking industry together to explore, I guess, what's needed to ensure there's consistency in terms of accessibility in the banking sector, and how banks can actually lead the way in terms of promoting accessibility in the broader community. So the forum was really a response to feedback which BCA and other organisations and individuals in the sector had provided about some guiding principles which the Australian Bankers Association had released. And these were to replace the banking accessibility standards which were created and last updated back in 2002. Even the 2002 standards have never been enforceable in terms of the law, but what they do is provide banks with guidance on everything from, you know, keypad implementation to speech into ATMs, accessible web design, etc., etc. So the purpose of this roundtable was to bring the sector and the banking industry together to say, right, well, the ABA has acknowledged that the guiding principles which they released were vague. They really didn't cut it in terms of being, I guess, prescriptive enough and detailed enough in terms of what the banks need and what the sector needs to be comfortable, you know, that there will be consistency of implementation of accessible banking services as far as possible. So the roundtable looked at the Public Interest Advocacy Centre. They heard from PIAC's CEO, who talked about the importance of planning ahead for accessibility rather than building it in later. We all know the importance of that. Talked about the fact that just because something is new and innovative, if it's not inclusive, then it doesn't actually equal innovation. And he also gave an overview of discrimination law. And he actually pointed out that, in fact, the ABA itself could actually be aiding the banks to discriminate if they don't provide reasonable guidance to the banks on how to implement accessibility. So basically, the point of this particular roundtable was to get to a stage where there was at least some agreement on what the next steps were. So there wasn't an expectation that out of this roundtable we would get to a solution and, or a set of guiding principles or standards. But certainly where we came to by the end of the roundtable was that both the banks and the sector were very keen for more guidance and more consistency in a set of guiding principles or standards, and that we really needed to make sure that in the future there wasn't such a lengthy period of time between reviews. The ABA is calling for nominations from organisations who were there on the day to form a task force to basically redraft the guidelines / standards. We're not really sure what they're going to be called yet, but certainly there's going to be a significant redrafting of those to make them more consistent. And then beyond that, Anna Bligh, who is the CEO of the Australian Bankers Association, also committed them to a roundtable of this nature at least once a year, so that we never ever end up in this situation again where we have, you know, 15 years between drinks, so to speak. At the forum itself, I certainly put forward many of the concerns that our members have already raised with us. I think we were fairly well represented, and we'll continue to consult with members as we go forward.
Now, consulting members brings up an interesting point. You're asking for feedback from members related directly to Blind Citizens Australia, is that right?
We are doing a survey at the moment about what people need from BCA. That is particularly interested in finding out how people access information from BCA, and also looking more broadly at what are the barriers to people's community participation. So when people are going out and about in the community, what are the barriers, if any, to their participation, whether they be attitudinal, whether they be physical. We're very keen to get people to complete that survey. The purpose of it is to provide us with feedback so that it can inform our future direction. And it's also so that we can use it to assist us in making the case for funding, for future funding of the organisation. We want to collect some data which will go into a report back to the National Disability Insurance Agency to help them to map what they're calling the unmet need in terms of their information linkages and capacity building program, and what they need to do to make sure that organisations in the community are ready for that.
What sort of real-world things are you expecting to hear?
Oh, look, I'm really keen to hear, what people want us to do in terms of communication, how people would like us to communicate with them, whether that continues to work in the way that it does now, or whether they'd like to see something new and different. I'm very happy to hear that. What are the types of information that people want from us? And how do they want that information? And I'm really hoping that we'll hear not only from BCA members, but from non-members as well, and people who maybe haven't actually engaged with BCA at all before, because in some ways that's just as important to know, well, you know, why, and is there something we could be doing differently that would entice people to get involved?
Mm. And how do we complete the survey?
Well, it's available on our website, so you can just go to www.bca.org.au. You can also call the office and ask to make a time to complete the survey over the phone, and we will also be calling some members randomly to ask them to complete the survey. So hopefully in that way we'll get a good broad cross-section of members to complete the survey. And also I would ask that if they could share the survey far and wide, whether that be with members or non-members of BCA, that would be greatly appreciated.
I'm sure we can all manage that. We'll all send out emails immediately as soon as we finish listening to this program. Thanks once again for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
A reminder about that survey at the end of this program. Sam Taylor works for Pacific Vision. I spoke to Sam in early May at the conference of the Roundtable on Information Access for People with a Print Disability. So just bear in mind that this information could be slightly out of date. Sam, welcome back to the program.
Thanks very much, Vaughan.
It's been about 12 months since we spoke to you. Why don't you update us on products that you've released in that length of time?
Okay, thank you. Firstly, probably most excitingly, this year HIMSS has brought out their new platform of Notetaker, the BrailleSense Polaris. Now, this offers a new standard in blind-friendly applications, the latest in hardware and software. We're now running this on the Android platform, which means that you can run pretty much any of your own accessible apps on top of the existing HIMSS applications that people already know and love. So we offer wireless charging as well, which basically means that you can source a wireless charging pad from us, which plugs into the wall, and put either your BrailleSense Polaris or a spare battery on that pad and charge it. So that's quite cool. And
again, that's very cool.
Yeah, you get about 18 hours out of the device at a time as well. So it's pretty thin and light, weighs in at about 750 grams.
What would you say for people who have the BrailleSense U2 and the U2 Minis? Is that sort of the end of the line for those?
No, not at all. So we're still quite happily supporting those into the future. So there'll be software packages for both units, the U2 and the U2 Mini. And we're extremely excited with what's come out of HIMSS. And shipping for this is supposed to be the end of May. There's a couple of kinks that need to be ironed out between now and then, but then, shipping should be underway.
And, of course, being on Android as opposed to the previous versions, which were using Windows Mobile 6.0, the software should be much easier to support and much more readily upgradable, I assume.
We've got so much more flexibility as to what we can actually do now, and applications. We're retiring a couple of apps that were there previously, like Facebook, because you can just download your own from the App Store and go for it.
So what else has been happening over the last 12 months or so?
Really, we're just doing our best to expand into our other areas. I'm doing a lot of travel myself to get around to see everyone in all the corners of Australia and also New Zealand as well. So I'm responsible for ANZ. We also have our new Smart Vision Premium mobile phone. Now, just to explain what this is, it's a mobile phone with a touchscreen. But more importantly, it has a traditional Nokia-style keypad. So about two-thirds of the phone are taken up with the touchscreen. The rest is the traditional keypad with your numbers, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and so on. And it's a little bit longer than an iPhone 6, for those who want to compare. But you have very distinct keys for most of the operations, and you're able to navigate around the Android interface just by using conventional up and down arrow keys. There's a clearly defined dot to mark the number 5. All the interface basically speaks as well, and you can have the voice of your choosing, whether that's, you know, Daniel or Lee or even Eloquence. Again, being Android, you're pretty much the field is open for whatever you want to choose.
Because a lot of people really miss the keypad, don't they? The traditional, we started calling the T9 style.
T9, that's right. And that's what I've observed since we've started to sell this phone over the last couple of months. It's been very, very popular, you know, people wanting to get the speed of the T9 entry back, and also voice input as well. It means that people can use, voice input for texting and for making phone calls, but also GPS, which we offer as well. We offer the Captain GPS, for which you don't need data. The maps come on the phone. You can talk into the phone to get directions from A to B. We also ship it with the OCR app made by Capsys as well, which is extremely accurate, and it also tells you where you need to move to get a decent picture, so left, right, up, or down. Which is nice, and then it will automatically take a picture for you.
Android seems to be becoming very popular among the blind and vision impaired community for a whole lot of reasons. One of which, of course, is the fact that accessibility has increased vastly, even just in the last 12 months.
It certainly has, yeah. I mean, iPhone has always been the go-to system, I suppose, or for a very long time for people who are blind, but I think Android is certainly catching up, even from the Braille arena. If you install Brailleback onto these devices, it means that deaf-blind people also have unrivaled access to an Android system. So, that's the direction things seem to be going.
How are you going with things like the Blaze book readers?
Yep, the Blaze certainly still has its place, both for people who want to listen to and download Daisy books and who want a small device that can perform OCR. We have the Blaze EZ, which has a few distinct buttons for everyday operation, and also the Blaze ET, which has the fully featured keypad as well, for taking advantage of things like the calculator and text memos, which also has T9 input.
How can people get in touch if they're looking for any of these products or for more information?
You can send me an email, sam@pacificvision.com.au, or give me a call or send me a text, 0420 355 996.
And as far as I'm aware, the BrailleSense Polaris is now shipping. I've had a look at it, and it's a very worthwhile product indeed. If you want to complete that survey to inform Blind Citizens Australia on how they can inform you, then have a look at the BCA website. You'll find a link to that survey right there on the main page. If you call 1-800-033-660, which is the toll-free number for Blind Citizens Australia, they'll help you complete that survey over the phone. If you'd like more information about Blind Citizens Australia, we invite you to have a look at the website. There's plenty of information there. There's information as well, of course, on how you may donate to the organisation and how you can get involved in the multifarious projects that Blind Citizens Australia is running. That website again is www.bca.org.au, and if you'd like to email them, the email address is bca@bca.org.au. I'm Vaughan Bennison, and I'll see you again next week.
We'll achieve the realization of our dreams, of our dreams.